Carolyn Torres, and Fernando and I will be married 40 years on the 20th of January.
Amen.
And when I was a young girl growing up, I was Catholic. I went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, and Catholic college. Fernando and I were married in the Catholic Church. We baptized both of our children as infants in the Catholic Church. And I thought that I'd be a Catholic till the day I died. But we had some dear friends who we met in California, because that's where we lived, and they moved to Phoenix, Arizona. And we used to come to Phoenix at least once or twice a year and spend a weekend with them. And we'd get up on a Sunday morning and go to the Catholic Church here. I think it's John and Mark. It's two names. I can't remember. And they would go to Alice Avenue Baptist Church. And then we'd meet back at the house and have lunch, and then we'd head for California. I don't know what's made the difference that one Sunday. I've looked back on it. But we got up that Sunday morning, and they said, "Today is Friends Day at church, and we're having a barbecue. And do you think maybe you'd come to church with us?" And maybe Fernando was already Baptist, because he said yes. I said, food, you know. We have a reputation as Baptists of being wanting to eat. So we said, okay, and we went to their church, and they took us to Alice Avenue Baptist Church, and they brought us in, and they set us in the church auditorium. And they did something I would recommend you not to do. Don't invite your friends, and then don't stay with them. They said, "Well, we teach Sunday school, so we'll leave you here." Well, they had a visiting evangelist that day named Jack Garner, and he was a big Texan. I remember that he was dressed all in black, and he had a Texas tie and boots on, and I had never seen anything like it. He walked back and forth across the platform, and he pounded his fist on the pulpit.
Amen.
And to tell you the truth, I really don't know what he preached. But I do remember that when he finished preaching, he said, "If you were to die today, do you know for sure you were going to go to heaven?" And no one had ever asked me that question before. So he said, "If you're not sure, raise your hand, and I'll pray for you." And I remember raising my hand. And then he said, "Okay, now if you raised your hand, you need to come forward so we can show you how to get saved." And I thought, no, can't do that. Fernando will say, "What is Carolyn getting me into?" So I was quiet, and I didn't go forward. And that afternoon, I spent the worst afternoon of my entire life. They had a garden on the side of the church, and we had a barbecue. And every time the evangelist and Pastor Vaden would pass by and we'd make eye contact, I was waiting for them to say, you raised your hand and didn't come forward. Of course, they didn't do that, but I was really, really nervous. So we got done with lunch. We went back to their house and packed up as normal and headed to California, and I didn't say anything. We got about halfway home, and we stopped at a rest stop. Then there was nothing known as a cell phone at that time. And we got to talking while the children were playing in the park area there at the rest stop. And I told Fernando, "You know when that man asked that question today?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I raised my hand." He said, "You did?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "So did I." I said, "Well, why didn't you go forward after?" He said, "Well, I thought you'd think I was crazy." So we got, there was a phone booth there, and we decided to call our friends back in Phoenix, and we told them what happened. And of course, they wanted us to come back that night and get saved. And we said, no, we'll go. There's lots of churches in California, and don't worry about us. Well, they went back that night and told Pastor Vaden at Alice Avenue, and he called Pastor Chapel at Bethany Baptist Church. And the next Monday, Dr. Haru and a deacon came from Bethany to our home and led us to the Lord with a Catholic Bible we had on our coffee table. I get excited when I get a chance to share my testimony, because as a young Catholic girl, years before, I'd asked God to use me as a missionary. And so when I graduated from high school, I entered the Sisters of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I was in the convent about 2 years, and I was searching for a special relationship with God that I couldn't find there. And when I left, my mother superior told me that my life would be ruined because I had turned my back on a vocation God had called me to. But isn't God wonderful? Because he honored that prayer, only now I serve him as a Baptist missionary in the country of Spain. Thank you so much for allowing us to come here tonight and to share our burden for the Spanish people. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. I have such mixed emotions right now. I'm so thrilled that they're here. I remember as a youngster when they received Christ as Savior. And Dr. Haryu, he's like an icon to so many of us. He's probably 90 now, 87 years old. And I slept through hours of his History of Israel class in Bible college. The Kinsman Redeemer. I can just remember it. You know, I can remember falling asleep but that guy has served the Lord faithfully, honorably, for probably 60 years or more. And in fact, Brother Fernando and Carolyn were there with them at Thanksgiving, I believe, and that thrills my heart to know that they're still faithfully serving the Lord. And what a blessing it is. And I'm so glad to see folks continuing to arrive. And the Torahs have a 5-minute DVD that they would like to show us. And so I don't know if we can dim the lights just a little bit, but go ahead and cue that up.
We are Fernando and Carolyn Torres. We have been missionaries to Spain for 21 years. It is our pleasure to share with you what the Lord has been doing in the city of Javier and the surrounding areas.
Javier is located on the east coast of Spain on the Mediterranean Sea. Javier boasts of its fishing fleet and its tourism. As the weather is sunny most of the year and the temperatures are mild, Javier has become a favorite place to pass vacation time for many Europeans.
We are blessed to be living in the center of the port area, close to shops and public transportation, and just 2 blocks from the sea. Carolyn and I like to walk and have our morning prayer time in front of the rocky shore. Catholicism is the main religion in Spain, and Javier is no exception. Most of the people that you speak to claim to be Catholics, even if in name only. Most of the fiestas here are centered on the church and historical customs and traditions. The Lord led Carolyn and I to start a church here, and in the fall of 1999, we introduced the Iglesia Bautista El Faro, Lighthouse Baptist Church, to the people of Javier. We started in a small storefront with 15 chairs, CD music, and just the two of us.
It wasn't long before we started seeing the fruits of our labor as we ministered in this new city. To our delight, we found that the church started to grow with many young people from many different countries and cultures. What we all had in common was a biblical desire to serve the Lord and win souls for His glory. With this desire, the church grew to the point where we desperately needed larger facilities. After months of looking, the Lord led us to a beautiful location where we occupy the entire bottom floor of an apartment complex, and it has everything we need. A modern building with an office, Sunday school rooms, kitchen area, new bathroom, a storage area, and even have heating and air conditioning. Our church is made up of young couples and young families with babies and small children. We have had lots of weddings and many new babies. We have 2 babies that will be born while we are away. Our children's ministry is growing, and we have had to divide them once already and may have to do it again soon. We have a great group of teenagers who are always willing to help out. They're in charge of greeting people on Sunday morning and taking care of the gate at the entrance.
One of the greatest things about our church is that our people have a desire to see others saved. They are always willing to share and to pray with each other, and are always inviting their friends and family to activities and church services. We have seen fathers get saved and bring their wives and then the rest of their family. Friends bring co-workers to hear the gospel. Widows looking for comfort. We even had the mayor and his son visit us twice. We have tried to meet our people's needs with weekly Bible studies at the church and have a number of home studies as well at different times for those who cannot attend the Wednesday night Bible studies in the church. The main emphasis is preaching the Word of God at every opportunity. We have weekly prayer times as well, where we come together to bring our petitions to the Lord. Our people are great prayer warriors.
Because of these prayers, many have come to the Lord and followed Him in baptism. While Pastor Moore from Phoenix, Arizona was visiting us, he was able to assist Fernando with the most recent baptisms. We had 7 that day. The highlight of that day was seeing Sergio and Melissa, father and daughter, share their baptism. The following week, we had a mother and son get baptized together. And as always, we had a time of fellowship following the baptismal service. Our son John and his wife made their famous paella, which is a traditional Spanish dish for special occasions. And we had the Argentinian barbecue, and everyone shared favorite dishes from their countries. We train our people to get involved in the ministries of the church, whether it is teaching Sunday school, singing, or playing an instrument. And of course, the young men get a taste of preaching. We have also had the privilege to send out a young couple from our church to start a work in a small town in the Alicante province, about 2 hours from where we are now.
Before we left, we were able to commission Andy and Jackie Chadwick from our church to start an English ministry in the Javier area. Andy is currently my associate pastor. They have already started a weekly moms and toddlers group to meet the needs of the growing number of young English couples moving into the area. They will be using our church building on Sunday evening and Tuesday mornings until they can find their own building. We ask you to continue to pray and support our ministry here in Spain as we minister to those great people that God has given us, as we train new workers and continue to reach the many still unsaved in Javier and the surrounding communities. Carolyn and I wish to thank you for your faithfulness. Because of you, we can preach the good news of God's great love and the redemption to the lost here in Javier, Spain. Thank you.
Had that presentation just strike my heart, and I talked to Brother Torres before the service, and I said, would you pray for us, because I desire so strongly to see a Spanish ministry raised up through this church. And to think that he's gone to a Spanish speaking country and they've started an English ministry to reach out to those folks. And I know that God has somebody already pre-plan to work together with us to see that come to pass. But Sunday night we had a young lady in our church who didn't speak English, and her name is Claudia, and Yvonne was there helping her understand what was going on in the services. And I'm in prayer that God would raise someone up so that we could have a Spanish ministry, and your being here tonight and showing us this is an inspiration to me. And I want to say thank you for it. We're going to sing a song. I think it's appropriate. I love to tell the story. And then we're going to receive an offering. And tonight's offering will go entirely to help the ministry of Fernando and Carolyn Torres. And so I want to encourage you to give a generous offering as unto the Lord. And so let's all stand together as we sing, I Love to Tell the Story.
I love to tell the story of blessing things of earth, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story. I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my fame and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, says the Tory. What seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet? I love to tell a story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's holy word. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when it sees the glory, I sing a new, new song. Old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
Let's remain standing as the ushers come, and I want to just encourage you to give generously tonight to help the Torahs. You know, sometimes I make mention of this, and that is that when we have a furlough missionary come through, we have some things to consider. Their normal monthly support is often supporting the ongoing work there on the field where they're while they're on furlough. And so, quite frequently, whatever they get in the love offering is whatever they'll have to live on for that week. And so I ask people, is what we're about to give sufficient enough to sustain your household budget for the next week? And I think that sometimes we need to think practically as to how we can be a blessing to these folks when they come through. We don't want to give them a token gift. We want to show them some heartfelt appreciation for the work that God is using them to do. So may God bless you tonight as you give. Brother Ron, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, thank you for your love and the salvation that's ours. And thank you for the testimony we've heard already, the power of the Holy Spirit, how He can come into our lives and save us from sin. Father, thank you for Pastor Torres. We pray for him tonight as he breaks the word to us and gives us his testimony. And Lord, thank you for the special visitors we have tonight. We're thankful for them and the fact that from a foreign country, Romania. We just thank you that we can reach out to those who are in other countries. Father, thank you for this offering. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Brother Fernando come, if you would. As he's coming, I want to just simply say that Brother Fernando Torres is a man of God, and God is using him, as you can see. It's been my privilege to know him as a classmate and to observe his ministry from afar. We went to 3 years of college together, and in fact, your father-in-law, April, was also our classmate, and or your stepdad, I mean, and it's just such a small world when you really think about it that way, and it's a blessing to me to have Brother Torres. Now, Brother, our folks never get out of here before 10 after 8.
Oh, okay, good.
So unload the wagon.
All right. Thank you. Actually, you're going to be doing good tonight, because usually I'm one of these Spanish preachers who preaches for 2-3 hours, but because I only have half a face, I've got to preach maybe down to 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 minutes, you know, so... But, you know, I just thank you for the opportunity to come and share our ministry with you. We're church planners. We've been in Spain now 21 years. In the video, it didn't say, but we've already established 3 churches, and out of those 3 churches, 2 other churches. So we've been used by the Lord to start 5 churches in the country of Spain, and we're real excited about that. I don't know if the ladies from Romania noticed, but we have 5 Romanian families in our church. We have a total of 11 nations represented in our church. The common denominator is that they all speak Spanish, and so it's exciting. But there is a great popularity of English people. Spain is a country where the English like to retire. But now, because we're in the European common market, they can work anywhere. So a lot of the young people and families are coming to Spain to start businesses and work. And so we saw the opportunity, so we're starting an English church there. And Andy, our assistant pastor, is going to run with that, and we'll be, that'll just be something else we started. Normally it's just been Spanish, but we're excited about doing that. One of the reasons we're home on furlough is because of the euro. The euro right now is very strong against the dollar. And it's almost like losing, we checked the internet the other day, and it's $1.47 to 1 euro. So when we translate our support into euros, we're actually losing about 47% of our support. And as missionaries, we can't work on the field, but, you know, we're happy. God's been supplying. We live in an area that's very costly on the coast. And this is something I had talked to Dr. Hardy many years ago before he even graduated. My idea was not to be a missionary. My idea was to go to Pacific Palisades and be a preacher to the rich people. Because I figured, you know, they need the gospel also. Well, God said no. He says, I'm going to send you to the east coast of Spain where there is a lot of rich people. It'll be the country I want you to go to. And so we're there. And it is costly, but the Bible, the word is getting preached, and God's meeting all our needs. But the euro being so strong now, we had to come back on furlough. We usually just come back for a month or two, but this time we had to come back for 6 months. And then a day before Thanksgiving, you know, I had a little stroke. But praise the Lord, it got me in there in that short window, they say 3 hours. And they gave me the shot, and it busted up the blood clot. And I just have this palsy, which they say will probably be a couple months, and it should be go away. Except I met a cousin of mine who came in the other day where I was at my mother's. And she said, oh, Uncle Nando. She says, my husband's mother had that, and she had it for 3 years. I said, thanks. I needed to hear that. But no, I'm praying, and I'm very positive that it will go away. The doctor has said that it is improving. I can suck up a straw now. I can smile. And kisses are still hard on that, but, you know, Carol's suffering. And I usually don't have a mustache, but I kept cutting my nose because I couldn't feel it. So I grew a mustache to solve that problem. But I know that the Lord will... hear me of this, and real quick, I can talk like I always talk. But this night, I'd like to bring to you just a short message on missions. And I always like to give a title to my messages, And this one message, when I had prepared it, I didn't have a title for it. And we were back east in the Midwest, and I heard a song sung by a young lady, and I liked the title and of the song, and so I told Carol, you know, I'm going to put this as a title for this song. And the song, I don't know if you've heard it, it says, Can You Reach My Friend? And it's a song singing to the Lord, Can You Reach My Friend? And this lady that sung the song had just lost her brother, wasn't it, Carol? Her brother, 2 days before. And she was real sad because she wasn't really sure if he knew the Lord. But, you know, I talked to her after, and I told her, you know, yes, the Lord can reach your friend and our friends. But, you know, the Lord wants to use us to reach our friends. He wants to use us to reach the lost people. So this evening, I'd like for you to think of one person, not a lot of people, but just think of one person that you would like to see sitting next to you on Sunday. Or that you would like to know that they know the Lord as Savior one day. Just think of that one person. I know you could think of 100 or 10 or even the children. You know, think of a friend that you would like to invite to Sunday school. And I ask you, when you think of that one person, start praying for that one person. You know, a lot of times we have people that like to hand out tracts. That's great. And, you know, you hand out maybe 1,000 tracts. But, you know, if you just take one tract or think of one person and let God lead you to that one person, you're going to see much, much fruit. So think of that one person that you would like to see sitting next to you next Sunday. Or can you think of one person or a group of people that you would like to see in hell for eternity? I hear some laughter. I'm sure we could probably say yes. Yes, I could think of people or a group of people that I would like to see in hell. But what does God say? What does God say about that? Let's go to Ezekiel, verses chapter 33. And beginning in verse 9. Beginning in verse 9, and we'll read God's word. And it says, Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. We see here that God's saying, you need to talk to the people. You need to present the gospel. You need to reach out to them. Now, if they die in their iniquity, it's not your fault. You did what you had to do. You did your part. They are the ones that are going to have to suffer. Verse 10, Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pain away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God. Now this is what God thinks about everybody else. He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? See, I ask you to think of people or a group of people that you would like to see in hell. But God says he has no pleasure in the wicked. He doesn't want to see anybody die and go to hell. He doesn't want to see any individual or any group of people die and go to hell. He gave his son for the whole world, for all mankind. That is why he gave to us the Great Commission. And I'm sure that pastor and many other missionaries and people have preached to you from the Great Commission. But I'm going to do it again tonight. Matthew 28 in verses 18 through 20. If you'd go there, please. In verse 18 it says, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In this scripture that we see here, in these verses, we see three types of people. We see three types of people. We see the senders, we see the goers, and we also see the disobedient people. First of all, we're going to talk about the senders. The senders, They are Christian believers. People who send missionaries are Christians. They are members of a local church. You know, a person just doesn't pick up and pack his bags and say, well, I want to be a missionary and I'm going to go off to Spain or Africa or South America. You have to be sent. You know, first of all, God calls you and then you're sent through the local church. So these senders are, first of all, believers. They are members of a local church. They believe in the Word of God, the Bible. They believe that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. They believe that everything is said in this Bible. So if you believe everything is said in this Bible, you need to act on it. Another thing that we see that the senders are also givers. They're also givers. They give their tithes and they are blessed by it. They give to missions above their tithes and they are richly blessed. I say richly blessed because that comes after your tithe. I don't know if Pastor Chapel remembers, but when we got saved at Bethany, we didn't know anything about tithing. I didn't know anything about tithing. You know, as being a good Catholic, what we used to do when the offering plate came by, you know, we just stick our hand in our pocket and shake that change around. And I'd say, no, that one's too big. Let's see. Oh, these are smaller, yeah. And take it out and drop it in the offering. You know, I didn't know anything about tithing. But through the teaching in our church there, we learned about tithing. We started trying to tithe, and we saw the blessings. But then I remember Pastor came and said, okay, now we're going to have a missions conference. We're going to take a love offering, and we're going to give to missionaries. And I told Carol, I can't believe this. I mean, he's already got 10% coming out of my pocket. Now he wants more. Well, we tried that. And then we were richly blessed. And it was exciting. And it was exciting to see how God blesses us. We also see that the senders believe that they serve a God that cannot be outgiven. One of my favorite verses is Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all thy tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And then he says, and prove me now. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. For I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should be not room enough to receive it. We just had the pleasure of bringing over a friend of ours from Spain. His name is Peter Gordon. He's an Englishman, and he moved here to Phoenix. He felt that the Lord wanted him to come and minister here in Phoenix. He went to the Bible school there in England, and he's retired policeman, Navy, and he's just, you know, he's retired. And so he moved here to Phoenix. I came with him. We went around to a few churches. He's in a local church here now ministering. And, well, he lives on his retirement. And Peter is one of these people that loves to challenge God. I've known Peter to see a need, and he'll give to whatever that need is without telling anybody. Well, when he came here, he was sharing with me that there was a lady in the church that had a big need. So he took one of his pensions. Now, you got to remember, Peter's getting paid in pounds. Those of you that know finances, right now the pound is 2 for 1. So that means he's got right now 3,000 pounds coming in. Am I saying it right, correct? 3,000 pounds coming in retirement. What does 3,000 pounds turn into dollars? $6,000, right? So this man's here with $6,000 a month. And he's a giver. He's a tither. And so he saw this lady with a need. So he said, you know what? I'm going to outgive the Lord. He took one of his pensions and gave the whole thing to her. So then he called me on the phone and he was all mad. He says, guess what? And I said, what? He says, the Lord did it again. He says, I just gave this lady all my pension for this month. And guess what? I just got a letter from the government saying that I'm entitled to another pension starting in June. So he's got another 300 pounds coming in, you know, so he's excited. But you know, that's the way the Lord is. The Lord does not like to be outdone. You know, a sender is a person that knows that. A person that knows that. Then the second type of people we have are the goers. Are your missionaries. There are families that want to serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15 says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I was 42 years old when I set my foot in Spain for the very first time. My daughter was 15 and my son was 13. And we've been there ever since. And I can even remember when I started Bible college, a lot of people thought I was a new teacher. But I told them, no, I'm just another student here. But, you know, I was 42 when the Lord called and we went to Spain. I had been working for the bus company for 15 years. I just needed 5 more years to retire. But I just felt God wanted us now. So we went. And we've been happy where we're at. We also see that the goers, they know they have a special job. Isaiah 61:1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to build up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." In our presentation, you saw a young girl dressed in all white, one of our teenagers. She's 16 years old. She speaks 5 languages fluently. She accepted the Lord. And one Sunday when she came to church, I noticed her arm was all bruised, like somebody squeezed it or something. And I said, "Marjorie, what happened to your arm?" And she says, "Oh, my mother and I had an argument, and she doesn't want me to come to church here. She says, you're brainwashing me, and she says, I'm wasting my time." And I thought, well, you know, we have to do something about this. So I said, "Would your mother come as my guest to church one day?" "Oh, I'm sure she would." So I called her, and her name's Patricia. I said, "You know, I'm the pastor of the church. I said, we'd love to have you to come and be." And she says, "I will come just so I can see how you're brainwashing my daughter." So she came, and she sat in the back row. And while I was preaching, she was shooting darts at me, you know. And when the offering plate came by, you know, she turned her back like that. And so after the service, our people are very friendly, and they were talking to her and having coffee. And I went into my office. Well, she came over and she grabbed me by the arm. That's how I knew Marjorie had those bruises. She grabbed hard. And she says, "Can I talk to you?" And I said, "Yes." We went into my office, closed the door. I sat down and she sat in front of me. And the first thing she did, she just broke down and started crying. And she said, "You know," she says, "I want what my daughter has. I want what you talked about today. I want to know Jesus as my Savior." And so right there, she asked Jesus Christ to come into her heart. Patricia now is one of our great soul winners. She's always inviting people to come to church. She has a job that gives other people in our church opportunities to work. And God is using her greatly. It's so exciting to see lives change. To see and to know that we had a little bit there and to change that one life. So we know that we have a special job there in Javia. The goers, they are men and women that don't look for personal glory, but glory for God and to bring fruit to the local church. Philippians 4:17 says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." I'm here tonight trying to lay on your heart that you give us that opportunity, that we could represent you in the country of Spain, that you could have fruit abounding to your account. One day when you will get to heaven, these people will come to you and tell you, "Thank you so much for supporting the Tauruses or supporting missionaries around the world." All your missionaries are out there abounding fruit to your account and glory to Jesus Christ. The goers, they know who is supplying their needs and are thankful. Philippians 4:18 says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God." We know that for many people, it is a sacrifice to give to mission. But think of the glory that you're bringing to the Lord. Think how you're helping the missionaries on the field. Just before we left, we have a car that's 18 years old. And we parked it in the garage, and I thought I'd save a little bit of money, and I canceled the garage parking, and I took the car and parked it behind my son's house. My son lives in the same town we do. And he has a garage, so I parked it behind his garage. And we got here October the 2nd. October the 5th, we got a phone call from my son. He says, "Dad, did you hear about the floods we had in Javia?" And I said, "No, I haven't heard anything." So I went on the internet, and they were there on the YouTube. It had all the pictures and everything. Well, the river overflowed, and the ocean came in. And our car just sailed down the sea. And so we lost our car. although it is 18 years old, and the insurance I had on it was third party, so they have found the car, but it can't replace it, and I didn't have insurance to cover it. So one of our needs is we need to get a car when we get back. And I'm proud to say that so far we've been able to raise $5,700 towards a car when we get back. But we have our needs. And, you know, we're not above needs. We have them. Gasoline right now, we're paying. I get excited when I travel to the United States and see that you're paying $3.45, $2.96 for gas. I say, wow, praise the Lord. Look at that. They're paying $2.96. That's great. We're paying $6.25 a gallon. And that's cheap. In England, I think you're paying almost $10 a gallon. So, you know, we're excited and we're thankful for you. Then we have the third person, the disobedient. Look at Matthew 28:17. It says, and they saw him and they worshipped him, but some doubted. You know, we know it was the disciples, but today, you know, we have people in the church, they worship God. You come to the services, you worship Him in your praising, and your singing, and your prayers. And you even may tithe. And maybe you give sometimes to missions. But there's a doubt. There's a doubt. Is my money going to the right thing? Could I do better by sending my money to some television program? Your money does better in your local church. But we see that some doubt it. So I always like to say that these people were people in the church. They doubted. We could probably make a long list of the things that we doubt, because I'm sure there are things today in your life that you doubt God about. Can God sustain me? Can God give me a better job? Can God find me the right person for my life? Can God do this? Can God do that? And if God doesn't do it, you doubt, or you blame Him for it. But you know, I think, and we see, that the disobedient is someone that loves God, but doubts because he has a lack of faith or experience. A lack of faith because maybe sometimes he didn't provide. A lack of experience because maybe you've never tried tithing, or maybe you've never tried giving to missions. Another thing is maybe you doubt because you've forgotten how great it was. You know, I can remember the first day when Dr. Harya came to our house and led Carolyn and I to the Lord. I can remember him using our Catholic Bible. The next Sunday just happened to be Easter, and he said, you need to come to church and make a public profession. I can remember where I was sitting in the church that Sunday. I can remember walking down the aisle, and I can remember Dr. Harya taking my hand, And then Brother Kinnikin, the deacon, taking us to the back. I can remember sitting there and him opening the Bible again and showing us. I can remember the tears coming to my eyes. I can remember that Sunday night when we got up to get baptized. I can remember being a Catholic and thinking, am I doing the right thing, you know? Lightning bolt going to come down and strike us, so I told Carol to go first. And I can remember she didn't get struck by lightning, so I went in. But I can remember working on the Sunday school buses. I can remember being in church every time the doors were open. I can remember leading my first person to the Lord. I can remember going to Bible college. I can remember the men and women at the Bible college and the friendships that we've made. I can remember going to Spain. I can remember the first lady I led to when I was in Spain. I even have her name written in my Spanish Bible, Soledad. I can remember how God is blessed as we see the churches grow and the people come and get saved. I can remember. And you know, I think those that are disobedient have forgotten. We need to remember. Do you remember where you were sitting that first day when you had Jesus Christ to come into your heart? Do you remember who led you to the Lord? Do you remember the first person that you led to the Lord? You need to remember. I asked you at the beginning of this sermon to remember, to think about one person. Remember that person in prayer. Remember that name of that person God's laid on your heart. And the coming Sunday, you make sure you invite him to come to church. Do your part. If he doesn't want to come, if he rejects the Lord and Savior, it's not your fault. You've done what God has laid on your heart. We're there in Spain doing what God has laid on our heart. What is the first thing we can do when we doubt God? Well, is confess it. And he'll forgive us. The disobedient is someone that will work at fixing their relationship with God. And so I'm asking you tonight, fix your relationship with God. Where is it? Is it close? Is it far apart? Are you doubting something that God is not doing in your life? Maybe he wants to see you act. He wants to see you remember. Remember how great he's been to you all these years. The best way to fix our disobedient is to get involved where God is working. And I can see God is working in this church. I was sharing with your pastor the number of years that we've driven up and down this highway and the number of times that I've called this church to see if I could come and present my appeal. And the answer was always, well, right now we can't. We don't have the money. We don't have a missions program right now. Call later. But I was so excited to see pastor's name on a list one day when our pastor here in Phoenix showed it to me. And I told Carol, I'm going to try again. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. You need to get involved where God is working. And I'm sure God is working in this church. And God wants to use you. When the local church accepts the Great Commission as part of their life, they will realize that they have a contract with God to decide the fate of the lost. You actually have a contract with God deciding how many people are going to get saved in Spain and in the countries around the world. In conclusion, now in my church there in Spain, every time I say, en conclusión, or in conclusion, you hear, amen! So, in conclusion, boy, that was strong. If we do our part in Spain, and you do your part at home, God will truly bless us all in his word, as he says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He will supply our need, and he will supply your need. Are you ready to prove him? Are you ready to challenge him? I encourage you, don't miss the abundant life that God wants to give you. Think of that one person. If you doubt, if you have any doubts right now, I encourage you, talk to the Lord, confess him, let him straighten them out, and then do what God wants you to do and reach the lost. Let's stand up and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this great opportunity you've given to us. Father, I thank you for bringing us here, and thank you for these people that have come and have listened so patiently and have looked at our presentation. Oh, Lord, I just pray that you just put the name of a person or a face in their minds and in their hearts, that they can start praying for that one person and invite them to church on Sunday. And Lord, I know that you want that all should come to know you as Savior. So I'm asking you, Lord, that you start preparing that one person, prepare their hearts, so that when our family here goes out and asks them to come to church, that they can see much fruit. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to ask you just for a moment, if you would be seated. We have a young man who has accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and he has a desire to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And he talked to Brother Bill Cheslick today, and Brother Bill called me and said, Preacher, would you baptize somebody on a Wednesday night? I said, sure I would. And if someone wants to be obedient right now, they need to know the water's going to be cold. But if they're willing to do it in cold water, I'm willing to get in there with them and baptize them. So we have a young man, a teenager who recently accepted Christ as his Savior, who has a desire to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. So we're going to prepare for that. I want to just say something to you. It's amazing how God is perfect in His timing. And last night, Brother Dennis, you'll recall, in the men's Bible study, we had a good group of men come out to study God's Word together. And we were studying in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where it says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. And then Paul said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the Word of God is not bound. And then he said, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the inheritance. And you know, I want to tell you something. Here's a guy who's not planning for his retirement. He's here in his 60s raising money to go back and build more churches. He's fighting through the palsy to speak. And yet, I see able-bodied people that endure nothing to see anyone saved. Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake. What a challenge it is to me to have Brother Torres here. And what an inspiration it is for our church family. May we determine in our hearts that we're going to serve the Lord until Jesus comes. And I know that God will bless you as you make that determination in your own heart. And let me just say before I go to prepare for baptism, and that is that if you're here tonight and you're not absolutely certain that you're on your way to heaven, there's no reason to leave this place tonight with doubt. Before you leave tonight, there's any number of people here or myself that would love to take God's Word and show you how you can be absolutely positive that heaven is your home. And so you keep these things in mind, and I'm going to prepare for baptism. And Anna Arlene, I wonder if you could just come up and play a little something at the piano, and I'll do as good a job as I can at hurrying this thing up, and we'll get in and out of here. God bless you. Just be patient. Just for